Hi, I'm Devin Whitmire. People from South Carolina, like myself, are proud of their state, but even we don't know every nook and cranny or every piece of culture or history. To explore places that are off the beaten path, you have to talk to the people there because their stories, their ideas make everything come together. From Discover South Carolina, it's the Palmetto Porch. To learn more, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Free Terrible Gamers. I'm your host Colin, here with Ashton.
Hey guys.
Alright, got a few left over from last week, the normal, and then get back into what we got this week. Pokemon the trading card game Pocket reaches 60 million users registered for launch, which I believe, obviously this is last week's topic, but I believe it's already released now.
Yeah, it released on October 30th, so time of recording 2 days ago. But yeah, so the Pokemon Company has announced that over 6 million people worldwide have now pre-registered for Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket ahead of their release on iOS and Android. It says, experience the fun of collecting Pokemon Trading Card Game cards with Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket, an upcoming game for iOS and Android devices from Creatures, Inc., the original developers of the Pokemon. Yeah, everybody knows who they are. In this game, you will be able to open 2 booster packs every day at no cost. You can collect digital cards featuring nostalgic artwork from the past, as well as brand new cards that are exclusive to Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket. Be on the lookout for new immersive cards, which will make you feel as though you've leapt into the world of the card's illustration. So, I don't know. I mean, there's been, I know, at least two different versions of Pokemon Trading Card Game already. Like, you can battle people online and stuff with cards, and I guess this is just another one. It doesn't say you can battle. I don't know if it's just maybe just collecting. I'm not sure. I haven't downloaded it, but
yeah,
I did try the other ones. The other ones weren't bad. They were kind of like the Yu-Gi-Oh game that we've played before. Yeah. You just pick cards and you play people online. It's kind of like almost the exact same thing, except Pokemon, you go.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it don't surprise me that they're going that route with it, because especially if they can't charge like microtransactions and stuff like that for different cards and everything else. But the fact that, you know, 6 million people pre-registered for it.
For a mobile game still, is impressive.
Yeah.
Which it is Pokemon, so it's not really that impressive, but for a mobile game, that's impressive.
Kind of expected.
Yeah. Pokemon fans.
And what I've seen today, I think the most collected one, or what people are trying to collect the most of, is Farfetch'd for whatever reason. Which is that little bird with a stick.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay. I was like, that's a choice.
I didn't see that. I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, so it's a trading card game, so I'm assuming you can trade with other players as well.
I would assume. I know on the other ones, if you had friends and stuff, you could trade with each other. Like, I don't know if you can battle in this one. So, to me, if you can't battle in it, really, what's the point?
So even Pokemon Go, you can obviously trade with your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Then battle with your friends if you're close together with a raid or, you know, got a remote raid pass or whatever.
Yeah. So I would assume you can battle. Like, that's the only thing that would make sense to me is, otherwise, what's the point? I mean, I know people like to collect cards, but in that case, I'd just get the real ones.
Yeah. They still exist.
Yeah, because, I mean, still, in my eyes, digital, it's the same thing with digital games. Yeah, you'll have it for a little bit, but what if they discontinue this app? Then you lose everything that you've collected over the years.
Yeah, especially if you decide to go the paid route and not just 2 free packs a day.
Right. And I'm sure they're getting a lot of people paying for it.
I guarantee it. So Pokemon fans are a different breed.
Oh, yeah. They'll buy those versions of the same game, pretty much.
Right, and you think, what, 28 years for the actual cards being over here as well?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 28 years of people collecting cards and, you know, a vast age group of people.
I did see, and that's kind of a little bit off topic, but I don't care. So I seen a Yu-Gi-Oh! Pack. I didn't buy it, obviously. I was just looking because Zachary was looking at cards for whatever reason. But it's their anniversary. They had an anniversary Yu-Gi-Oh! Pack.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen those. They went back and they remade the older ones. Like, I think there's a Yu-Gi pack. There's a Joey Wheeler pack.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Kaiba and maybe a Pegasus pack.
I honestly thought long and hard about buying it. Like, it was one of the big containers, you know, the big metal cases that we've got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was $30. I was like, I was thinking about it.
I said used to have, but I'm just like, what do we have? Mine still.
Mine's still in Alta.
Yeah. Still got my metal box here with me.
My playing deck is still in Alta, too.
Nice.
So have it together.
Yeah. As you can tell, we're Yu-Gi-Oh! People and not Pokemon people.
Yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is better. Even the anime's better, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I liked watching Pokemon when I was little, but I could still sit down and watch Yu-Gi-Oh! If I wanted to.
Oh, yeah. I could sit down and watch both of them. I mean, I still prefer to sit down and watch Yu-Gi-Oh! But I guess, in a technical sense, the Pokemon is more kids-friendly for what our kids' ages are.
Yeah. Yeah, Zachary, the reason I was even over there in the card section was he said he wanted some Pokemon cards, and I didn't even know he knew what Pokemon cards were. Maybe some kids in his class have them or something. I don't know.
That's what Ezra is going after hard right now is Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Especially once he's seen mine.
I don't have no idea where my Pokemon cards are. I had a crap ton. I don't know where they're at. I know where my Yu-Gi-Oh cards are, but
I had like 6 in that metal box we was just talking about with my Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and I was like, you know what? You can just have them. Like, I don't need them for anything.
Yeah.
Of course, I think I mainly just had like, I think 5 energy cards and like maybe 1 monster.
I do remember we didn't actually play how you're supposed to. We didn't really do the energy cards. We just done like the heart points and crap when we battled. Yeah.
We played exactly like how you would play at Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah. That's how we were used to playing. So we wasn't exactly sure how to play because we were used to Yu-Gi-Oh. So we just done it how we wanted to.
Then you could stack energy to make them stronger.
Yeah.
Still, at that point, I think you had to have a rule book to know what, like obviously the energy, but obviously even though it's the same type, if it plus whatever attributes for that Pokemon.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Was definitely easier to battle. Like, if you had, it's just basic math going off the attack and defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We went down a rabbit hole in that one.
That's all right. It's still gaming related, technically.
Yeah. Not technically a video game aspect of, especially Yu-Gi-Oh! But
they have games.
The Duly Convention. Yeah, they do. I still got the GameCube ones.
Yeah. crap, what's it called? Falsebound Kingdom.
They have another one.
Yeah, there is another one. But the one I played was Falsebound Kingdom, I believe.
Yeah, I played the other one. I can't remember what it's called. But I know that name does not sound familiar to you just said.
Oh.
Just like if I was to say the other one, you'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that, but at the same time, just can't think of it.
Yeah.
Alright. Black Myth Wukong physical copy released.
Alright. If you've been holding off picking up a copy of Black Myth Wukong until the release of a physical version, then it looks like you won't have to wait much longer. GameScience has confirmed that a physical PlayStation 5 edition is on the way in the near future. In a recent post to the Black Myth Wukong X/Twitter account, the developer thanked fans for their patience and stated that the master disc for Black Myth Wukong is ready. If you're not familiar with the term, a master disc contains the final launch version of a piece of gaming software, which is then copied onto further discs during the production process. The post goes on to say that the PS5 physical edition will be available to you very soon, though falls short of providing a definitive timescale. It says elsewhere, the GameScience has revealed that the game has sold 10 million copies across all platforms, currently PS5 and PC as of August 23rd this year. An Xbox Series version is on the way too. But there's no concrete time frame on that.
Yeah.
This is a game I haven't played yet, but I'd like to eventually.
Yeah. Is it single player or is it online?
I believe it's a single player game. I think it's like people are comparing it very heavily to God of War.
Gotcha. They say what few videos I've seen of like people playing it, it seems like a Souls like.
Yeah. But
and I went live on the GameCube game. It was Falsebound Kingdoms. I realized the name of it. That's the only
just
one
called it Yu-Gi-Oh, saw. Probably.
Yeah, I just called it Yu-Gi-Oh. Didn't ever read the bottom part of it. But man, that game is selling for high right now.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. The cheapest one I've seen was an open copy with no case, and it was $50.
Holy crap. You could just emulate it for free.
Still, case was $500.
Wow. 500, that's crazy.
Just imagine keeping a GameCube game that long and not even opening it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we were kids when that came out, but still.
Well, and emulation wasn't even a thing then to like emulate it and still be able to play it, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's what I do now for most of my Switch games. I just keep them sealed because I did buy them so I can play the emulated version on PC, keep them sealed. But back then, that wasn't really a thing. So,
yeah.
Especially for GameCube, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's no way I could keep a game sealed that long without actually being able to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like that's definitely a commitment.
Yeah. Unless you buy two copies, but that's also a commitment.
Yeah, at that point. But you think if you're going to save it for the long run and wait 20 years to sell it for, you know, 10 times the price of what you bought it for.
Yeah.
Because back then, games were standard $50.
Because
It's about every 15 years, they go up about $10.
Those were the days.
Yep. Anyways, back to Black Myth Wukong. It's the physical edition for the PS5 will be the first one that comes out of all of them. Don't know why they're doing breakdowns like that.
I guess Xbox users haven't even got to play the game at all yet, so. Just PS5 and PC has.
Do you think that'll be a contender this year?
Probably. I would say it'll be there.
We're a month out from it now?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Holy crap. This is like we just went over that.
Yeah, well, we did a year ago.
I don't know, but it feels like it was just a couple months ago. I'd say this. Echoes of Wisdom would definitely be there.
Mm-hmm.
What else has came out this year? Black Ops 6. Because it's a good game, but...
Yeah. It'll definitely probably win multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say, I mean, I might be... I haven't played Black Myth Wukong, so I don't know. Oh, Pal World. Pal World 2. Forgot about that. It came out in January.
Yeah. Because it just barely fell into the time frame. Well, I mean, not barely
it's kinda,
into the time frame.
It's kind of dangerous, though, releasing your game that early, because by then, so many other games come out and people forget about that game. But
yeah. Which I think was a Tears of the Kingdom situation last year over, and why Baldur's Gate got the better break on it last year.
Yeah, because Tears of the Kingdom came out in May, so I think if Tears of the Kingdom would have came out in like October, November, it would have won. Yeah. Because by then the hype was kind of down on it.
Echoes of Wisdom not being as groundbreaking as that one, I don't think it'll be a qualifier, but I don't think it'll win at all. And I won't be as mad if it don't
win. I think it'll win probably the family friendly thing. You know, most Nintendo games do.
Mm-hmm. They got their title for a reason.
Yeah.
Unless their version of Pokemon games managed to win out this year, which I doubt it.
I doubt it. Which I can't think of any other games that's came out that would even contend against Black Myth Wukong besides Pal World.
Oh no, we didn't even hear Baldur's Gate until that one game of the year last year.
That's true.
Like, what is this game?
I played it. It's an RPG. I just can't.
Yet again, that's the most widely accepted video game genre in the world.
But why? It's the worst.
A lot of people don't think so.
Well, a lot of people are stupid. Sorry if you like RPGs, but
I think it's just like me playing South Park the other day. I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah. I've always wanted to play this game because, you know, obviously it's South Park. It's funny. I'm just like, it's an RPG. I still can't play it.
Yeah. Like, I can't say it yet. Never mind. It hasn't came out yet. But
you mentioned it last week. Let's
spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. They scour the globe for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things.
And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date.
When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the USA. They often have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts you can personalize.
To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/3TG. That's uncommongoods.com/3TG for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's hurting you this week?
I didn't know if I said if I played it or not.
You did.
Did I? Well, I played Mario & Luigi Brothership early access, you know. It's an RPG. It's trash. And the art style's I don't like the art style. Looks bad. Looks blurry.
You know, Switch is at the end of its life cycle, especially as much as these games are coming out super early before again leaked. Yeah, because we were talking about the Snake last week, but it has to be potentially leaking out the stuff on the inside.
Yeah. The only other games I can think of are just remakes or PC ports. Like Ragnarok was a PC port from PS5 game. Luigi's Mansion 2 was a remake.
But I still don't see how those ever get qualified in for it, because it's a port. Like, it's already had its contention and potentially won whatever.
I don't think it'll be a contender. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't think of anything else that's came out that...
Like, remakes or remasters should have their own category.
Yeah. Remake of the year or whatever.
Yeah.
Epic Mickey, it was also a remaster.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the games this year that I can think of have been a port or a remaster.
Yeah. That we played anyways.
Yeah, that we played.
Alright. Naughty Dog's next game report.
Oh, Helldivers 2.
Yeah. Well, that came out like the very end of last year, though.
It says 2024. Here, maybe. Super Monkey Ball Banana Rumble.
Yeah, that did come out this year, too. Mm-hmm. That'd probably be a contender for Family Friendly.
Yeah, I think Echoes
of Wisdom. Still technically a Nintendo title, even though it's Sega made it.
Yeah.
Because it's a Switch exclusive.
It's true. All right. What you said. Naughty Dog is primarily noted for its work on narrative-focused linear action games in recent years, thanks to the success of Uncharted and The Last of Us. Now it seems that the studio's next game might be leaning into more open-ended design. This quote says, "I heard from somebody very in the know who worked on Naughty Dog's next game. Ben Hansen, formerly of Game Informer, says on the most recent episode of his MinMax podcast, the tone was like, you are all not ready for how amazing this thing is going to be. I'm not going to say the game that they referenced to compare it to because I don't want people to be, I don't know why this people's talking so much. Says, Naughty Dog is due next anytime morsel of insight is going to be devoured. Hansen notes that the game reference was not Hitman, but beyond that, the meaning of player freedom here is completely open to your interpretation. We've already seen Naughty Dog take a few tentative steps in this direction. Uncharted 4 saw some experiments with semi-open world areas and otherwise linear game structure, and that idea was greatly expanded in the early Seattle chapter of The Last of Us 2. It seems Naughty Dog was originally quite keen on that idea too, as the studio has confirmed The Last of Us 2 was originally a Bloodborne-inspired open-world game. So they're just going to make, basically what I got out, it's going to be like an Uncharted or a Last of Us, but open-world instead of linear-based.
Yeah, which, I mean, it seems like they're copying everyone else's success from it and trying to capitalize on it.
It being Naughty Dog, it'll probably be a good game because they make good games. So
I'm not dissing it at all in that aspect of it, and it'll probably be interesting having a more story-driven game in an open-world setting than, because, like I said, Tears of the Kingdom, like compared to that being open-world, or a Zelda game in general, it may be an open-world, but even though Tears of the Kingdom was such a great game, it still wasn't really story-driven.
Yeah.
Being Naughty Dog and implementing a story majorly into it, especially if they was already flirting with the idea with Last of Us 2, if they done.
And especially them being a Sony studio.
Mm-hmm.
With the story.
Yep. They all have their perks and defects, but Sony's perks is definitely story.
Yeah. Like I said, Naughty Dog makes good games, so I think they'll, whatever it says, it'll be a good game. It's, I'd think different if it was like Bethesda or Ubisoft. But like, yeah, okay, here we go. You never know how this is going to be, but with Naughty Dog, you can almost guarantee it's going to be a good game.
Seriously, I don't think I've ever seen a Naughty Dog game that's not been super well received.
Yeah, not that I can think of.
Then they're even able to carry it over to the big screen. Well, series, I should say.
Yeah,
so there ain't been a movie yet that I'm aware of.
Season 2 of The Last of Us comes out later this year or early next year, something like that. I guess this year's almost over, so probably early next year.
Probably. But yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with an open world outlook.
Have you played Uncharted?
I've seen it be played. I've never played it myself.
It's kind of like a little bit like Tomb Raider.
Gotcha.
Kind of.
See, I always get Uncharted and Just Cause confused.
Yeah,
which I think those two are very similar games. Just one has more story, obviously, because one's a ripoff.
Right. Just Cause.
But yeah, that's what I've always
compared to. Both good games, though. Like, good series. Yeah. Franchises.
Which is the same for both. I've watched them both be played. I've still never sat down and played either one of them.
Yeah.
Four that they have each, or just five. Just Cause has five now, I think.
I think so. I've never played a Just Cause. I've seen somebody play it, but I've never played it. I've played a little bit of Uncharted. It reminds me a lot of Tomb Raider. Yeah.
More story driven, I'm assuming.
Yeah. The newer Tomb Raiders, they're like that.
Of course, I guess really back in the day, you couldn't really tell much story because you was fighting this to be able to get your game one, you know, one cartridge.
Yeah.
In the memory for it.
Yep, definitely.
All right. Batman Arkham Shadow reviews.
All right. So this was the VR game that we talked about several months ago. And it released on October 22nd, 2024. And this was last week when I got these. So 12 critic reviews was an 83 and 44 user was a 9.3. So when this game first came out, I was excited because I was like, oh, we're getting another Batman Arkham game. And then I seen it was a VR only. I was like, well, that's kind of dumb. But
yeah.
But I mean, I guess it's decent. I didn't look and see what like Arkham Knight or anything was compared to it, but
I did.
I figured you did.
Arkham Knight was only an 87. I mean, I'll say only 87 like it's a bad thing, but it's still only 4 points higher than a VR game.
Yeah,
that's what I guess I'm getting at.
Yeah. Did you play Arkham Knight?
I think I played a little bit of Asylum.
So Arkham Knight was the first Xbox One game that I bought myself. And I liked it. It was pretty good. It came with the Harley Quinn DLC and stuff when I bought it, and it was a good game.
Oh, I forgot about that game existing.
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, so I'm going to look up the Metacritic on it as we're talking.
I think there was...
It was... A must play. It was a 92.
I'm thinking there was 3 Arkham games.
Arkham Knight.
Origins. Arkham City. Arkham Origins.
Was there? I only knew Arkham Asylum.
There's Arkham Knight, Arkham Asylum, and it says Origins and City.
Yeah. Arkham Knight. Yeah. New Knight and Asylum, but I forgot about Asylum until just now. You say what, Arkham City?
Yeah.
Metacritic. It was a 94 must play.
Wow.
City.
City?
Mm-hmm. And then Asylum of the 92. And he said he ever won his origin?
Yeah, Arkham Origins. It says 97% like this game.
Oh, it was a flop.
Was it?
74.
Wow. It says on Google, 97% like this video game.
Yeah. Well, Metacritic is a 74, and then the user score was a 7.6.
Wow.
But it was a 360 title. So yeah, I think
it was. PlayStation 3, 360, Wii U, and Windows.
Mm-hmm. A Quiet Place Road Ahead is the very top thing on Metacritic right now.
Never heard of
it. Oh, that could be a Game of the Year contender too.
I've never heard of it.
The Quiet Place? The video game?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard been all over my stuff.
I've heard about the movie.
I think we watched the movie together.
Yeah, I think so.
It's an 82.
Nice.
And it somehow got a must play even though it's not in the 90s.
That's weird.
I don't know how that works.
I don't think I've only seen must plays be 90s.
Well, that one said must see, so I don't know if it's talking. I don't know if it works different for horror games.
Maybe.
Let's see what we're going to do to you in a second. All right. I think we got time for one more.
Yeah.
And you pick one of the three for this week, because I figured that would be about the case. But there wasn't that much news this week, in all actuality. Nothing crazy.
Not really, no.
We're going to skip one, and we're going to go down the Nuketown map for Black Ops 6.
Right.
Since it dropped today at the time of recording.
Yeah, actually, me and Ryland, we were in the middle of playing, and then it kicked us out and said, downloaded playlists, updated. And I was like, I bet Nuketown just dropped. And yeah, it did. But it says,
we were playing whenever it dropped.
Yeah. So then I went and seen Nuketown 24/7. I was like, yep, that's what we're playing.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
so.
Like I said, I knew.
Good.
Go ahead.
It says, fans of the classic Call of Duty Black Ops map Nuketown, set on a small Nevada nuclear testing site, can now play a graphically revamped version in Black Ops 6. A multiplayer playlist featuring only Nuketown went live today, like I just talked about, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time in Call of Duty Black Ops 6, alongside double XP, double weapon XP, and double gobble gums that will be available until November 4th. At 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, is it Eastern Standard Time? When does time get back?
EST? Eastern Standard Time.
I don't know if it was EDT is Eastern Daylight Time. Depends when time goes back.
Oh, yeah. I think we fall back to Sunday.
So it would be EST. Because right now it's EDT. Like either way, if you're...
Or is it called EST?
Yeah, it's EDT okay. If it's Eastern Daylight Time, but it's EST if it's Standard Time when time falls back.
We're about to fall back in, like I said, Sunday.
Yeah, so it'll be EST.
Which...
It don't matter.
Don't know that time fell back the time they're listening to this.
Yeah, unless your clocks are... You know, your phone doesn't automatically do it for some reason. But anyway, yeah, so,
or you get an alarm from Nintendo.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't know why, but at the beginning of October, all the Ford trucks that I... Because all the Davy trucks are Fords. That's a little off topic, but anyway. All the Davy trucks are Fords, and then my truck's a Ford. They all went back early, a month early, on their own.
Nice.
I don't know what that's about, but anyway.
Yeah, how that works.
Anyway, Nuketown is on Black Ops 6 as of time of recording, and it will be when you hear this, because I'm sure they're not going to take it away. And it's double XP, double weapon XP, and double gobble gums.
the time you hear this, Double XP will be gone, though, because it ends the day before it releases.
And by the time you hear this, I'll probably be prestiged.
Yeah, I'll probably be prestiged here for the next couple hours.
Hopefully.
But that is all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you for watching or listening. You can follow our socials on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, got Discord, got merch on Redbubble and TeePublic. And I think that's it.
Yep, think so.
All right, later, guys.
Catch you in the next episode.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.